And the average, the official length is?
Minchah starts at like 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay. Anyway, hi everybody, and thank you for coming here, for inviting me, and it's good to be here. I just wanted to share a few thoughts about Hanukkah, some quickie thoughts, so to speak. Everybody knows that Hanukkah is actually very much de-emphasized in the Mishnah. It's a very famous question. Unlike Purim, that is a whole Maseches Megillah. Hanukkah is only mentioned once in the Mishnah, and it's very derech agav. It's referring in Bava Kamma. There's a discussion of a camel that has flax, and the flax gets ignited by a candle in the chenveni in the store, and the building is set on, some other building is set on fire. So who is chayav, the owner of the candle or the owner of the camel? And Rav Yehuda says over there that normally the chenveni is chayav because he's negligent in leaving his candle outside. But if it's a near Hanukkah, he's putter because you're supposed to light your Hanukkah candle outside. So the whole mention of Hanukkah is agav, the agav, the agav. There was really no discussion of the miracle of Hanukkah at all. And there are a lot of different reasons that Mefarshim give why the Mishnah de-emphasizes Hanukkah. Some want to personalize it. You know, the Chashmonaim proclaimed themselves kings. And the Ramban says that was an Aveira, because Malchus is supposed to belong to Shevet Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Hanasi, the author of the Mishnah, is from Malchus based on it, and as a result, he did not want to emphasize the celebration of the Hasmonean monarchy. But more fundamentally, what's important to know is, as well, is that during Roman times, when Eretz Yisrael was under foreign domination, Hanukkah was not emphasized as the successful revolt against a foreign power. I mean, what's going to be? We light our candles, and the Romans ask, why are you lighting candles? Oh, we're celebrating the fact that we overthrew the foreign domination of Eretz Yisrael. It's not a politically correct Yom Tov. And in fact, some Mefarshim even say that is why what started off originally as a celebration of a military victory became primarily associated with the miracle of Neros. Because you could no longer celebrate. That's why Chazal and Merames at various points that it was a sakana to light Hanukkah candles out in the open. What's the sakana? I mean, the answer is that it was taken as an act of rebellion, an act of defiance. But one of the famous machloksim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is how do you fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Neros Hanukkah? Beis Shammai says you start with 8 and you go down. Beis Hillel says you start with 1 and you go up. And of course, we paskin like Beis Hillel that you're meisif v'heilech. The Gemara in turn gives two different explanations for the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The first hesber the Gemara says is that Beis Shammai says you go down because Beis Shammai says keneged yamim ahayetzim, that we celebrate Hanukkah based on the days that have passed, including the day that we're lighting. So day one day, day two. I'm sorry, the other way around. Keneged yamim hanichnasim, the days that are coming. So day one, there's 8 days of miracle, right? Beis Hillel says keneged yamim hayetzim. Now that's the first explanation the Gemara gives, but l'chaira, the explanation doesn't explain anything. The explanation is simply stating what they're saying. That Beis Shammai says you start with 8 and you go down, Beis Hillel says you start with 1 and go up. That is not an explanation to say that Beis Shammai is looking at the days as they are coming and Beis Hillel is looking at the days as they have passed. That's not a hesber. So one hesber that they give is that in reality, this is consistent with the general approach of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel to halacha. We all of us know that as a general rule, Beis Shammai is machmir and Beis Hillel is mekel. Now, l'chaira, the machlekes by Ner Chanukah has nothing to do with chumra and kula. But Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin says it's all connected. Because the concept is, Beis Shammai looks at what we call koach, potentiality. Beis Hillel looks at what is called payo, and that is the actualization or the realization of an imperfect reality. So, by Chumrah and Kula, Beis Shammai looks at the world as it ideally should be. Now the Gemara says, the Medrash says, Rashi brings it, that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create a world based on Midas Hadin. He saw that the world couldn't survive, so he made a compromise of combining Rachamim and Din. Beis Hillel is Mekel based on the reality of the world, that the world cannot live with a Midas Hadin. But Beis Shammai looks at the koach in the Bria, the potential of the Bria, which could have been Midas Adin. And that is why Beis Shammai is machmir, and that is why the Arizal writes, Liyasid Lavai, when we live in a more perfect world, the halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. Ah. So Rav Zevin says, if you understand that the Chumrah and Kula aspect of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is not simply a matter of strict versus lenient, but it's a matter of focusing on the world as it could be versus focusing on the world as it actually is, this is mamish the same approach they have for Hanukkah. Beis Shammai, who looks at potentiality, so day one, this oil had the koach to burn for 8 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the oil a koach. The actualization was the perception. So Beis Shammai, who looks at koach, looks at the miracle in terms of poches faholech. Beis Hillel, who looks at poyo, says maisa faholech. Right? So it's exactly the same as the Chumrah and the Kula. That is the first explanation of the Gemara. But the Gemara then gives a second explanation, which is actually better known. That is, Beis Shammai says, we're poches faholech, because that corresponds to the pattern of the korbanos that are brought on Sukkot in the Musafim, in which you start off with 13 bulls and you go down. So kishen, that you go down by the parim of Sukkos, so huadin, you go down with the neres of Hanukkah. Again, no real explanation. And Beis Hillel says, malin b'kodesh, v'ein mayridin, we go up in holiness and we don't go down. All right, so Beis Hillel, we understand, malin b'kodesh. But what on earth is Beis Shammai trying to say? That Neros Chanukah go down because we compare them to Parei HaChag, the Korbanos of Sukkot that go down. What's the Sheikhus? So I'll first give you a historical observation, which I think actually is true, al pipshat, and then I'll give you what the Sfasemis says, more of a Hasidish or Ruchniistic interpretation. Historically, you know, one of the primary historical sources of the story of Hanukkah is from the Book of the Maccabees. It's called Sefer Hashmonaim, which is in the Apocrypha, meaning it's not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. But nevertheless, the Rishonim did consider this to be a reliable historical book. Rishonim do quote from the Sefer HaMakabim or the Sefer Hashmonaim, and it is considered a legitimate historical source. But one of the strange things we read in the Sefer HaMakabim is that when the Yidden finally got control of the Beis HaMikdash after 3 years of Greek desecration, they were especially nischaret that they did not celebrate the Sukkot festival that year because they couldn't bring all the korbanos. So they enacted the mitzvah of Chanukah to make up, now it says in the Book of the Maccabees, to make up for missing Sukkot. That is why Chanukah is 8 days. In fact, that's a terrace of the Beis Yosef's kasha. The Beis Yosef has the kasha. If they found enough oil for 1 day and it burned for 8 days, the miracle is only 7 days, so why is Chanukah 8 days? Famous kasha, there's at least 500 terutzim, because there are svarim that have 500 terutzim. But like the Book of the Maccabees, it's very pashut, because Sukkot is Kailal Shmini Atzeres as well. That's part of the one central Avodah. So Chanukah was enacted to take the place of Sukkot. Now, this is in the Book of the Maccabees, which, as I say, is a little off the beaten track. There is generally no remez in Chazal to the idea that Chanukah is a tashlumen for Sukkot. It's not shayach. According to halacha, if you didn't bring the korbanos of Sukkot, it's for fallen. But le'anias daiti, the one remnant in Chazal that Chanukah is a tashlumen for Sukkot, might be this svara of Beis Shammai, that the lighting of the neros should follow Parei HaChag. The Gemara makes no explanation at all what on earth is the connection. But based on the Book of Maccabees, there actually is a connection, and that's why it follows. This is a historical idea that, you know, might not fly well in a yeshiva, but nevertheless, I think there's a truth to it. But the Sfas Emes offers a more spiritual explanation. And he says the following. He says that, at least in the second explanation, Parei HaChag versus Milan B'Kodesh, that the Emes is the Ner of Chanukah is a remez to the light, the Or HaPanimi, within every person's neshama. We say, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The soul of Hashem is a human neshama, a Yiddish neshama. The Sfas Emes springs from the Chidushi Harim that even the word nefesh, What is nefesh? It's an abbreviation. Ner. Ner means a receptacle for oil. Pesila, wick. Shemen, oil. What is my nefesh? Who am I? What are we? We are a receptacle waiting to be lit by the light of Hashem, provided we prepare ourselves with oil and wick, meaning we do the hachana to be able to be makabel v'or. So when you look at the Hanukkah candles, you're looking at a mirror of the or within our neshama that can light and be ignited by the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam. That's one of the inyanim why we gaze and look and be misbeinen in the neiros, because we're seeing the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu come into us. So here's the Sfas Emes says. The Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is, what type of tikkunim, how are you misakin yourself to be a light that could be makabel, to be a candle that could be makabel, the divine light? Beis Shammai views fire through the metaphor of burning away impurities. This is called the tshuva of Sur Meira, that I prepare myself to be makabel the Or Hashem by burning away that which is impure and destructive within me. Based on the trajectory of a tshuva, based on a Sur Meira, hopefully you have less and less to do as time goes along. So day one, I have 8 things to burn away. And then 7, 6, 5. Because if you look at Eish as the kayach that is so reifu mechala, it burns and it destroys that which is negative, that which is destructive, that's poches v'holich. Now, how is that connected to Sukkos? Because that's exactly what the Pariah Chag represents. Chazal already points out that if you add up the numbers of the parim for the 7 days of Sukkos, they equal 70. And they represent the 70 Umos HaOlam that tried to destroy the Jewish people. And they're Poches V'Holech, because as we approach Yemos HaMashiach, their Kayach to be Mashchis and Machabel should hopefully get diminished and weakened. And even if you're going to ask a Kasha, don't we see that things are getting worse? Well, once again, the hope is, this is like the last gasp of a candle, right before a candle goes out. It suddenly flickers up and the light. So Beis Shammai is saying the following analogy. Kishem, that by Sukkos, where we symbolize the destruction of the Kochos Hara of the 70 nations, we symbolize that destruction by a procedure where there are poches, poches v'holech, as you go on. So too, Ner Chanukah, that commemorates not the destruction of an external Ra, but a destruction of the Ra within me. We have a ritual where it's poches v'holech, as you burn 8 things away, then 7, then 6. So Beis Shammai's modality of Taras HaNefesh, Beis Shammai's method of purifying the soul, is based on poches v'holech. But here too, Beis Shammai is being an idealist and Beis Hillel being a realist, because Beis Shammai says, yeah, ideally, you purify yourself by looking at your bad and attacking it relentlessly. But Beis Hillel says, realistically, that doesn't work for a lot of people. Realistically, if we focus too much on our chesronos, we tend to become depressed, we lose hope, we feel we can't go on. And therefore, Beis Hillel is suggesting that the way you purify your soul is not by concentrating on your flaws and burning them away, but by generating light, by taking your milas and strengthening them. In other words, he looks at the process of purification not as the fire that destroys, but as the light that illuminates and warms. This is called the tshuva, not based on Sur Meira, but the tshuva that is based on Aseh Tov. Unlike the tshuva of Sur Meira, which ideally will be poches v'holech, as you burn away chisaron after chisaron after chisaron, the tshuva of Sur of Aseh Tov is based on building up reservoirs of light. And the emes is, this is the way life often is. We cannot directly fight darkness. It's like you can't take a baseball bat and hit darkness. But you light a candle, and in Mela the darkness is nitcha. So once again, Beis Shammai's derech might be appropriate for the Tzaddik Gomer. The Tzaddik Gomer, who is strong enough to look at himself and simply destroy whatever doesn't belong, he can do it. But for many people, Beis Hillel is miyayetz, that your tshuva has to start off with the purity of working on your kaifas, and the chayshach is nidcha not by focusing on your chisaron, but by working on your mamon. Now the MS is, we find this in Klal Yisrael, these different shitas. The shita of much musr, Rabbi Saul Salanter's musr, was very much focusing on your chisronos with almost a, pathological is too strong of a word, but a very, very intense, a very, very obsessive focus on every little thing you might have done wrong. That even if you do a mitzvah, you examine yourself. Was it l'shem shemayim? Was there a pniyah? Was there a gaiva? Right? Now, Hasidus, we know, by and large, didn't like that approach, but forget about Hasidus for a moment. The Emet says the Chazon Ish didn't like that approach that much. This is much less known. The Chazon Ish was actually a very big misnage to much of Musser, because he felt, among other things, that it led to an excessive preoccupation of doubting yourself, questioning yourself, and basically often feeling that you weren't worth anything. And the Chazon Ish felt it was much better to simply go ahead, learn, daven, get pleasure and nachas in what you're doing. And the more light you generate, the stronger you become spiritually. And the stronger you become spiritually, the chayshich automatically gets weaker, even though you were not directly focused on the chayshich, because the or itself is daicha the chayshich, right? So the Sfas Emes says that this is the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and this is why Beis Shammai is medame to parei achad, because you're mashchis the kaychav ra, Beis Hillel is medame to mailin b'kaydish. By the way, there's an interesting shaila that Beis Halevi has. You know, mi'ikir adin, according to the law of the Gemara, you actually don't have to have either Maisav Alech or Peiches Alech. Mi'ikar Adin, you light one candle every night, and that would be enough. And it's only Mahadrin min Mahadrin that is Maisav Alech or Peiches Alech. So the Beis Halevi has the following shaila. Let's say it's the fourth night of Hanukkah, and a person only has three candles. Should he light three, because he should do as much as he can? Or since he cannot do the right number of days, he should only light one? So the Beis Halevi Tainas, this would actually depend, it's a long pilpul, but he wants to say it actually depends on the two reasons given for Beis Hillel. If I say that Beis Hillel's reason is, for Mahadrin and Mahadrin, is you want to capture the number of days that have passed, and the hidur is to designate the number of days. So that's only shayach if you have the right number of days. If you don't have the right number of days, there's no reason for that hidur. If there's no reason for that hidur, you go back to the din of the Gemara, and you only light one candle. Masha enkeik, if I go like the second reason of the Gemara, mailin b'kodesh v'ein moridin, so the Beis Halevi time is like this. If the day before I lit three, and I only have three today, even if I can't see Myla, so two things. You try, you go up, and you don't go down. L'chayla, it's superfluous. The answer is, even when you can't go up, you at least try not to go down. So the Myla is basically telling us, like, the second reason you would like to. So the question is, which reason do we paskin like? He has a whole arichas, that would take a much longer time, but he wants to say that you taka light three, like that second reason. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, without bringing the Beis Halevi, actually says if you can't light the right number of days, you go back to one. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says without giving the cheshbon. By the way, it's very, very interesting. Just I'll tell you a little bit of trivia, but it's an interesting bit of trivia. The Chafetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah in a door of many, many great gedolim. I mean, you had the Nitziv, you had the Beis Halevi, you had Rav Chaim later, you had the Or Sameach, the Rugged Shaver, kama great, great gedolim. But the Mishnah Berurah and the Ber Halacha bring nobody from his generation. He brings nobody from his generation at all. No, he doesn't bring the Beis Halevi, who mamish deals with the Shaila. The only Acharon, contemporary Acharon, that the Chafetz Chaim brings is in the Ber Halacha and Tekiyas Shofar. He brings something from the Gaon, the Or Sameach. And it's even in Agadot. It's not even a Dvar Halacha, but it's Shefer Shel Ayel, etc. And people wonder, people who are Bucky and Mr. Wurr, like, wonder, like, why all of a sudden? I mean, there's so many things that Mr. Wurr could have brought. Why does he bring something from the Yor Sameach? But the Emes says, Rav Shach had a guess. Rav Shach had a speculation, and he checked it with Chavitz Chaim's Mishpacha, and they said he was right. And the speculation was,